Hey everybody, it's spring training, so there have been some cuts in between the time we recorded this podcast and the time you'll be listening to it, so check up on your transaction wire and you'll know which of these pitchers are maybe no longer with the organization. For example, Chris Volstead and Kyle Kendrick. Thanks for listening and enjoy the podcast.
Hello and welcome to episode 7 of Podcast to Be Named Later, the official podcast of OutfieldFlyRule.com. I'm Brent Blackwell, here today with Chris Jervis.
Hello.
And TJ Alexander.
What's up?
This is part two of the Starting Pitcher podcast. We did all the 40-man roster guys in part one, so go check that out if you missed it. We talk about all the pitchers pretty in-depth on the 40-man roster. This one we're going to have to go much faster on some of these pitchers because there's a lot of them. We're going to start with the non-roster invitees to spring training. Might as well start at the top of the list, and that is, and I only know this because I looked up an old Colorado Rockies broadcast where they pronounced his name, Joly Chacin, former Rocky, pitched a little with Arizona last year, and I think was really good when he pitched for Arizona, if I'm not mistaken. He's been trying to get it back for a few years, but as recently as 2013, this guy's good. He's really good.
Yeah, he's always, I think injuries have always been an issue with him. I think it's going to be tough for him to get a rotation spot, but he's one of those guys who's always going to be in the background waiting to take a spot start or waiting to take a rotation spot if it becomes available due to injury or poor performance.
Is he like a full-on minor league deal, or does he have one of those veteran opt-out things that's common for guys like
him? I don't know the specifics, but I would imagine he does have a veteran opt-out.
Okay.
Being that he's been around the majors for a while.
Yeah, I mean, he's made 113 starts in the major leagues and has a career ERA under 5 despite spending his entire career in Colorado and Arizona, which is
impressive.
Yeah, it's very impressive.
He's going to be a guy who probably can give the Braves some innings. He hasn't provided a lot of innings lately. He's a deep rotation option for later in the season, I think. And he's a guy who could probably be flipped easily if he has a decent showing.
Yeah. Yeah. It's there's upside with him.
I feel like he might be like first guy up if there's a problem anywhere.
Yeah. My only concern is that we may not be able to send him down.
Right.
I'm trying to. Has anybody found that yet?
I don't know. I don't know that it got reported even. And there may not be one. It's just common in that type of player. The type of player who wants to prove it, like a non-roster invitee spot to spring training.
Signed a minor league contract on December 14th.
So that's all.
So a one-year minor league deal, which means we don't have to worry about the option because there's an option there. It doesn't say if he has one of those vesting or one of those veteran options where if he's not on the roster by X, he can leave. It doesn't say that. But, you know, we shall see. He's had some good... good success in the past, especially at Colorado.
Yeah, he's a, if he can get it back together, that's great. Because he can be flipped for a good prospect if he is back.
Right.
Right.
He's 28, so he's not young, but he's in the middle of his major league career, so there's still time for development.
All right, next up is a 31-year-old who has made over 200 major league starts. And in our last podcast, I alluded to this guy as the quintessential replacement-level fifth starter. This guy should be... He can just get a lifetime contract to be the fifth starter for every worst team in baseball for the rest of his career. Like, he's valuable to have around because he gives you innings. He always gives you innings. Last year, he gave up the most home runs in the National League.
But you got innings.
You got innings out of him. Although there were innings at a 6.32 ERA in Colorado, but I don't think he's that bad. I don't think he's... First, he is bad, but I don't think he's...
First, he is Kyle Kendrick. Right. We have to...
Kyle Kendrick, yes.
In case anybody missed, you know, where we were going.
Yeah.
Or the first podcast.
You got a 40% ground ball rate in Colorado, and you're Kyle Kendrick. You're going to give up 2 home runs every 9 innings.
Well, even
this adds up.
Even in Colorado, a 6.32 ERA was bad, but the 6.12 FIP was the second highest or second worst FIP by a pitcher who threw 100 or more innings since 1994.
Yeah. Since this is the pitcher podcast, also, we talk about FIP a lot. It's fielding independent pitching, and it is basically the best estimator for future ERA.
Right.
It's a good predictor of future ERA, better than ERA.
ERA has flaws because it's dependent on other players. It's calculated, by the way it's calculated, is based on runs, which is dependent on other players on the field doing their job. FIP tries to normalize that a little bit by eliminating all those other things and looking only at the things controlled by a pitcher. Yeah. Home run ratio, walks, strikeouts, that type of thing.
Kendrick has almost as many walks and homers per nine as he does strikeouts in his career. Like, that's not good.
Right.
You can get by with Kendrick if you have a fantastic defense and a big ballpark. But I think that's about it.
You can get by with me if the ballpark's big enough. The defense is good enough.
Not that we should be using fantasy projections as far as determining what a guy's value is. But here's a quick fantasy blurb from somebody who's given, you know, what his expectations are for Kendrick this year in the fantasy world. Perhaps back in the National League East, which he pitched in for 8 seasons with the Phillies, he won't be as big of an embarrassment, but he's not a pitcher you should be thinking of picking up, not even in an NL-only league. To be honest, I wouldn't even pick him up in a league where you could only draft Atlanta Braves pitchers.
Yeah.
So that kind of puts it in perspective.
Next guy that is invited to spring is Chris Volstad, another former National League East guy who was with the Marlins for a few years and was not very good when he was with them. Then he went to the Cubs where he was worse. Then he went to the Rockies and nobody gets better there. Then he was in Korea for a year. And then he pitched 2 innings for the Pirates last year.
Did 2 tours.
Right, he did two tours in Korea. 6'8", 230 pounds. And Chris Volstad is the kind of pitcher who makes you long for more Kyle Kendrick innings.
Did you almost say long for Chris Jarvis innings?
No. Although I'd actually rather see Chris Jarvis pitching
than Volstad.
In this podcast, I was looking for ways to be more positive for some of our guys.
I picked up the slack.
So I'm just not going to say anything here.
Yeah. Next up. Yeah.
He's bad. He's bad at baseball.
Let's put it this way. He is amazing at baseball. Unfortunately, he is in a league where only people who are amazing at baseball play. Right. And so they are a little more amazing than him. Chris Volstead, congratulations. You're one of the 1,000 best baseball players on the planet. So you can hold that over everyone else that you ever knew in life, except for the...
You can make fun of us.
I'm looking through, and he wasn't even good in the minors. I mean, this is a guy who got his job because he's 6'8". And, oh, Randy Johnson was tall. If he was a hitter, he would be Jordan Schaefer, if Jordan Schaefer didn't hit.
Yeah, I was going to say, Jordan Schaefer's not a hitter. What does that mean? The next guy invited to spring training is David Holmberg, who... There's another large man. I think the Braves maybe were worried about security in the
spring. Go look at the Baseball Prospectus picture for David Holmberg. He looks like he just ate my soul.
And it did not taste good.
Yeah, it was bad. Bad soul.
Yeah, David Holmberg, and that's the face of a guy who just got cut by the Reds. That's a reevaluate your dream kind of face. But he does not look like a real happy guy. I'm sure he's a real treat to be around. He's probably a sweetheart. But yeah, I think the picture is the most interesting thing about Holmberg and his career. Pitched 62 major league innings and he's walked more than he struck out, and he's given up 18 home runs in 62 innings. That's a lot of home runs.
That picture of David Holmberg looks like Jervis when he's cruising the Facebook groups.
Yeah, between Volstad at 6'8", 250, and Holmberg at 6'3", 245, and just looking like
you got an X-Men villain.
Somebody. You gotta be able to laugh about things. David Holmberg, also one of the 1,000 best players in baseball in the world.
Let me present you with this award.
Yeah, it's all relative to the major leagues. So, Holmberg is literally one of the best athletes on the planet.
He is far better at baseball than I ever was at anything.
It's just that in the context of a 25-man roster, some guys are going to be way worse than others. He's also out of options. Also, Kyle Kendrick is out of... No, wait, no. It's Joely Chacin is out of options. So Chacin's out of options, so we can't send him...
But he's on a minor
league deal. He's on a minor league deal.
Right. Yeah.
If we add him to... That's the thing. If we put Chacin into the majors or Holmberg this year at any point... We can't send them to the minors without passing them through waivers. That's what that
means. I don't see Holmberg having to worry about that.
Next non-roster invitee is one that will be a little sunnier on. Aaron Blair, acquired by Atlanta.
That's what you think.
In a little trade
that we like to call fleecing Dave Stewart.
Yeah. I was watching the first inning of a spring training game with the Braves where Ender Inciarte was batting, and the announcer was talking about how the Braves got two really good pieces in return for Shelby Miller, and they got Inciarte and the shortstop of the future, Dansby Swanson. And I was sitting there yelling at the screen, we got three. Aaron Blair is a really good prospect. He is a top 100 prospect in Major League Baseball, according to Baseball Prospectus. He is a top 5 prospect in the system.
Drafted 36th overall. So, you know, he was basically a sandwich pick, a compensatory type pick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a lot to like about him. Last year, his strikeouts fell off a little bit, but he had really good strikeout numbers early on.
Well, he also played 2 years at Marshall, I believe, before mm-hmm. he was drafted, so he's probably further along in his development than some of the other prospects. College players tend to develop a little bit more quickly because of the extra couple of years of you know, high-tier competition. Blair throws good fastball, 90-94, tops are out around 95-96. Heavy life, throws it down in the zone. Gets a good bit of ground balls from the sink on the pitch. Changeup looks good. Curveball probably is in a little bit of needs a little bit of work. Big guy, strong frame. I like him. He's the guy that I thought was going to break camp with the Braves. Mm-hmm. When we were doing, if you haven't checked it out over at TomahawkTake.com, Philip Tapley put together kind of a list of what all of the writers thought the 25-man roster was going to be breaking camp. This was, of course, before certain injuries and certain signings and whatnot. But I had Aaron Blair kind of sneaking in as the number 5 starter. I don't know if that means anything, but I think he's a guy who probably will be in the big leagues this year. He's pretty close to ready right now.
Mm-hmm.
Had a good solid year at Triple A last year. Double A was not bad. I think that he ends up making the Braves roster, making the Braves rotation this year. Overall future, he's probably a high ceiling for him would be a number 3 starter. But he's one of those guys with a really high floor, too. He's going to have a major league career. He'll probably end up being anywhere between a 5th starter and a solid bullpen piece. A lot of it depends on his development.
I think he's going to have enough pitches that are good that he'll be a starter, assuming he can stay healthy. And I don't see why he wouldn't. He's 6'5", 230. He's durable. He should be. It's the big frame to be durable. An innings-eating workhorse.
He's still pitching.
And being quoted out of spring training says he hasn't really decided where he's
going to
live yet.
All right, and that was not
fascinating. Fascinating, Don. Fascinating.
Friggin' brilliant.
Yeah. The announcers aren't talking about baseball and spring training. Yeah, because they're not really seeing it. It's practice, is all spring training is. Aaron Blair is, you know, I don't know if he'll break camp, but he could. And I definitely think we'll see him this year in Atlanta.
Right.
I think he's the type of guy who just it's sort of, he does everything pretty well. He's got some velocity. He's got pitches. He's got, 4 different pitches, I think, that he can throw. He knows where to throw them. He knows he can command them to different spots in the zone. And I think he's the type of pitcher who will be, when you look at individual aspects of his game, you may not be able to explain why he's good, but he just is good.
Right.
Bigger than the sum of his parts. So that kind of player.
There were a lot of Diamondbacks people, too, that were livid with
trading him.
Him. More than Swanson. I mean, I when that happened, there were some people that were claiming he was their number one prospect.
He's another guy who seems to, with the time, also get better. In 2002, in the 2010 amateur draft, he was selected out of high school in the 21st round, overall pick number 633. 2 years later, or actually 3 years later, in the June amateur draft of 2013, he was 36th overall with the third pick in the supplemental round. Mm-hmm. So he's a guy who, give him a little bit of time to work on his command, work on his stuff, and he'll continue to get better. And I think we're going to see that with him this year. I think he's going to probably be a contributor to the Braves as early as this season.
He's aggressive, too, which helps for, you know, young pitchers coming up to start anyway.
The next non-roster invitee is Chris Ellis. Chris Ellis acquired from the Angels in the Andrelton Simmons trade. He was the third player we got, other than Eric Ibar. and Sean Newcomb, who we'll actually talk about next. But Chris Ellis projected to start the year in AAA. He had 15 starts at AA last year, where he was pretty good. What league was he in? It says Arkansas, but I thought he was in the California League. Maybe not. I don't know. Ellis says he was a closer at Ole Miss back in the day. He was a reliever. And then when the Angels drafted him, they converted him to starter. He's tall and lean, 6'5", 205 pounds. And there are some concerns about his ability to go 200 innings over a full season, stay healthy. I don't know. Last year was his control got away from him a little bit at AA. But shoot, he pitched 140 innings last year across two levels.
His command and control seem to be the big question marks.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, and that may have to do with durability. He may still be building durability and could slip away late in the season. You're probably not going to see him unless it's in the bullpen this year.
He'll be a major leaguer. He's got a high floor. He throws his fastball with three different speeds, a lot like Bartolo Colon. He can switch up his fastball with different direction and different speed.
I forgot which guy. That's right. He's the guy with a running fastball and a
kind of a sinker.
Sinker,
right.
Yeah.
Command is an issue, just like it is with a lot of these young pitchers.
Right. But there's talent there. It's a good third player to get in that kind of trade for Simmons. So,
and this is one of the situations where we gave up Simmons for him, and everybody loved Simmons, and Simmons was one of my favorite players ever. Just absolutely loved him. But the guy we got back was a top five in the Angel system.
Mm-hmm.
He's probably not top five in our system. You know, Chris Ellis is not going to be a top five in the Braves system because we have replenished it. But we'll discuss in a few minutes how sometimes where that player is, what systems he is in, kind of inflates that number a little bit on what his ranking is.
Well, coming over in that trade and also invited to spring training is the aforementioned Sean Newcomb, probably the number one or number two prospect in Atlanta's system, maybe number three depending on how you rank the shortstops. Newcomb is a 6'5", 245-pound lefty, 22 years old. Yeah, he's a big guy. Strikes out a lot of people and walks a lot of people. Basically, Newcomb is ready once he finds command. Once he starts commanding his pitches and getting control.
Get him up then.
Yes, yeah. He'll turn that corner.
Newcomb has a big fastball, probably 90 to 95 regularly. He tops out at 98. The problem is he can't regularly get to that top end. He can't dial back and pull up the 96 to 98 when he needs to. He's usually more consistently around the 93 to 95 range. Doesn't sound like a big difference, but sometimes that extra 2 to 3 miles per hour makes a huge difference. Control's the problem. Command's the problem for him. He has a real issue with allowing walks, and he's going to have to get that out from under him. If everything clicks for him, he has a good, solid, you know, he's a lefty with a good fastball, good curve, good changeup. You know, he has 3 above-average pitches. Left-hander. If everything clicks for him, you know, I think the comp that I've seen that's probably more close for him, I've heard the name Kershaw thrown around. Kershaw's in a league of his own. I think the name that's probably the most realistic for him on his high side is John Lester. Which is really very good. But I think he really needs all of that to come together for it to be a John Lester. We were discussing, Brent and I were discussing the other night about guys that Frank Wren tended to draft versus the guys that we're seeing picked up now. Guys who...
It was in our last podcast.
Was it?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Maybe I should pay attention. Maybe I should listen to those. But guys with the high ceilings... We didn't really go for the high ceiling. We went with the guys who are likely to be major leaguers, and Newcomb is one of those guys. He's one of those guys that if it clicks, you're looking at a top-shelf pitcher, and if it doesn't, you're looking at a bullpen arm that throws really fast.
That's how you get superstars. I think we said that a couple of podcasts ago. That's how you end up with somebody like Clayton Kershaw. It's just by going after those high-ceiling guys and going after a lot of them.
Yeah.
Newcomb's getting close. He'll probably not. I don't know. He could make the... I doubt he makes the Braves roster anytime this year, but he's probably a 2017 addition to him.
And, you know, patience pays off with some of these guys because there's another guy who walked, 4 per 9, and then in the majors, 4.3, 4.4, 6.5 in the majors, 6.5 walks per per nine his last season with Baltimore before they gave up on him, but was another 6'4" big guy with a lot of talent and a big prospect coming up, was Jake Arrieta, reigning right. National League Cy Young winner.
And that's, I read it last night, and I can't find it now, but I'd seen what you were saying, Chris, is John Lester as his ceiling comparable, and somebody saying his floor was Scott Kazmir.
That's which, a pretty good floor.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. I mean, I would, yeah, I'd kind of, I think the floor is lower. I think the floor, yeah, there's a chance he doesn't make it to the majors because you can't walk six batters per nine.
Right.
No. If he does make them, if he does fall out as a starter, though, he still has an option as a back end reliever, possibly. Mm-hmm. But again, that gets back to just because a guy throws fast doesn't mean that he's going to make a good closer. You know, you still got to put that ball. As a matter of fact, you can argue that command is more important later in the game when you have, you know, you walk three guys in inning one, your team still has, you know, nine innings to try and catch up. You walk three guys in the seventh or eighth inning, and suddenly you're putting the game out of reach.
He doesn't get a lot of innings because he's walking and striking out so many people.
So he's throwing a lot of pitches.
In 13 games last year, he pitched less than 66 innings, which was less than 5 innings per start.
Right.
Or no, just at 5 innings.
So he's getting into trouble, or he's throwing a lot of pitches, or both.
Yeah.
Big upside, but still needs work.
Yeah.
He's probably more realistically going to hit 2018 rather than 17, now that I think about it a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, he's never pitched at AAA before, and he's only pitched 7 games at AA. So I think Mississippi is where he'll pitch most of this season. And then if things go well, I could see a late season bump to Gwinnett and right. then start at Gwinnett next year. Next up is Lucas Sims, who used to be the toast of the system until we started acquiring a bunch of elite prospects.
And he was the one I was referring to just earlier when I talked about, you know, being the number one prospect in the Braves system for a couple of years, like he was, or at least the number one pitcher, was probably overstating him. I'm not as high on Lucas Sims as some other people are.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't seen the additional steps. He had a great Arizona Fall League this year, but we're talking about 17 innings.
Inconsistent minor league track record too, which right, was 2012 he was very good, and 2013 he was very good. 2014 was a bad year, his first taste of high A ball.
Sims has talent, there is no question about that. He's just inconsistent.
Yeah, at winter ball, man, he was looking good in winter ball last year.
Yeah, in 2015 at the Arizona Fall League, played for the Javelinas, and you know, he strikeout rate of 9 per inning, walks of 1.5 per inning, 1.59. And that's always been kind of his thing in the minor leagues, is he's always been slightly higher on the walk ratio.
And I believe his velocity was back in Arizona, too. I think it – or was it Arizona? He played – that was
– Yeah, I think that was the Javelinas, yeah.
He – I want to say he was hitting like 97 on the gun with regularity in Arizona last year. So that's pretty impressive.
That's a small, small sample size. You know, that's – he pitched 6 games, 5 starts, and 17 innings. So he was not going more than 3 innings at a time. They were effectively using him, for lack of a better term, as a reliever. Mm-hmm. So I don't think that's – and that is such an outlier from the rest of his performance for the last 5 years. I would like to see what's being done this year more consistently, you know, something in more – but, again, he was rated high for a reason.
And he was good at AA at Mississippi sure. last year. He had a 3.3 – FIP over 10 strikeouts per nine. The walks were an issue, and the command is the command or control. The control is an issue, and I actually saw an inning from him in spring training earlier, and it was the command was an issue there.
Right.
He was sailing high strikes at like 96 miles an hour above the catcher's head.
So he'll probably be a guy who, you know, we'll see. I'm not as high on him as others, but he's still a highly rated prospect in the system.
Didn't you have something on Sims?
Yeah. The Chris touched on it earlier. He had a great 2015 as far as strides
right.
leading back toward that. One thing I read last night was he was in that bus crash right. too. And apparently a lot of that rehab that they went through with there, they ended up focusing on his command and control a lot during a lot of those little rehab stints and working with him on that. But I'd read some scouting report somewhere where it said no minor league starter had a better 2015 than Sims did as far as just getting back kind of on track.
Oh, interesting.
So, that's good.
All right, there's a one more guy projected possibly for AAA, and his name is Brandon Barker. He is not a prospect, really. He's oh, by the way, those are all the guys that are going to spring training. The ones we just did are all the non-roster invitees. Brandon Barker is a, let's see, he was a 16th round draft pick in 2014. Last year, high A ball. He pitched well, not a lot of strikeouts, but he had done pretty well in the strikeout department elsewhere in his career, and low walks. So he's a guy who, I don't know, he's done well in the minors, but he's not seen as a big prospect. So next up is, I don't know.
I got nothing.
I would offer more input, and this is not a situation where I'm trying to be positive. This is a situation where I'm trying to find something. Yeah, like, right. Something to say, because I don't know anything about the guy.
Projected AA starter, Andrew Thurman, came over in the Evan Gattis trade last year.
6'3", 225, another big guy.
Yeah, we've been going for the big guys who, like, have the downward plane on their throwing a lot.
Should make for a good bullpen for years.
Yeah, we have a legion of Kevin Grabowskis to... Grabowski, am I saying? What is this? The big, like, the giant guy who threw nothing but ground balls came in? Yeah, Grabowski, I think, was it. Yeah, Thurman's a prospect. There's something there, because I remember when we got him from Houston, it was... There was some talk of upside. He's had some good strikeout numbers.
He has probably three, with maybe you could stretch and say possibly four pitches. Lack of command, doesn't have an out pitch. That's his issue. Is that he can go after a batter, but sometimes he can't put him away. It's the command that's probably capping his ceiling. I'd say probably a back end starter.
Mm-hmm.
More likely a reliever. You know, depth starter. He's probably going to end up being a swing man. I don't consider him much of a prospect. You know, a below average overall major leaguer, but probably will have some major league experience.
He's more than a guy, but he's also not Lucas Sims or anybody that
he's a good guy.
He should be paying a lot of attention to.
Yeah.
Another potential AA starting pitcher is Zachary Bird, acquired in the Hector Olivera trade last year with the Dodgers.
Yeah, he's young. He's 20, is that right?
21 right now.
Yeah, he's one of all the super high, not super high, but high K totals, right? High strikeout totals?
Yes. Yeah, last year he had in single A, which is where he did, or high A, which is where he did most of his damage, was he had 9.6 strikeouts per nine. Walks appear to be an issue for him, as they are for most young pitchers.
Right.
Right, it's as much an average, it's as much an issue for him as it is for any other minor league pitcher, because they all struggle with that sort of thing.
LB, is he? Y'all think Mississippi probably?
Bird?
Yeah,
made three starts at Mississippi last year.
I want to see if his strikeout rate stays that high.
It's hard to project, because we have so many pitchers that we have. Okay, so Fultonavich, Kelly, Jenkins, Weber, Gant, Chacin, Kendrick, Volstead, Holmberg, Blair, Ellis, and Barker. That's 12 pitchers who are AAA level,
right?
Basically, so we got to cut a bunch of these guys. Like Volstead, Holmberg, but
just don't beat me up.
Yeah. So a lot of those guys are going to get cut, because we just can't bump. I mean, Fultonavich, Kelly, Jenkins, Weber, and Gant are pretty much your rotation at AAA, and maybe Barker's a long reliever there. Chris Ellis might have to go back down to AA or so. And Aaron Blair, you got Aaron Blair too, who's going to factor in. So it's going to trickle down. It's going to force guys lower.
And then Bird doesn't deserve to be anywhere near the conversation of those guys. He's not garbage. He's got, the strikeout totals are intriguing.
And he's fairly young for AA too. So he's only had 17 starts at high A, so I wouldn't hate putting him back in high A to start the year.
Yeah, I mean, he's a guy, though, that you look at what he's done, where he's been. He's always been younger than his competition. So he's always, been a little bit behind the pack. But he's also a guy who's never really been that good where he was.
Mm-hmm. But you kind of, if you've got talent and you are young for your age, you kind of give guys a little bit of a break on that. Also, Lucas Sims is basically the same age and has gotten a little further along too. So they're similar. Although Sims is the better prospect, but they're, similarly you maybe give Bird more of a break on his stats than you do other players. Next up is Steve Janis. Steve Janis, who his picture on file. Janis looks like he was lifted out of a early 80s mid rotation. Like the guy was born a junk baller, it seemed.
He's Eddie from Major League.
Yeah. And he pitches like it, too. A whopping 4.3 strikeouts per nine innings at AA last year. 4.3.
Oh my, that picture.
All right. 4.3 strikeouts per nine. Kind of tells you what you need to know about Steve Janis.
Yeah.
All right. Next up, acquired from the Mets last summer, Rob Whalen.
He was the more highly touted of the two, of him, he and Gant coming over.
Mm-hmm.
Gant is the one that actually ended up turning out to be the better pitcher last year. Whalen, four seasons in the minors, 17-11, 2.48 ERA, 3.42 run average allowed. So he's, you know, all runs of all types, pretty solid at limiting the damage.
Mm-hmm.
1.076 whip, so he doesn't give up a lot of runs. A lot of base runners. Strikeouts per nine, 7.8, fairly average. Walks per nine, 2.9, you know, probably fairly average. So really it boils down to he doesn't give up a lot of hits. He, you know, his base runners are, you know, walks, and he doesn't walk a lot of them. He just controls the number of base runners on base.
Yeah.
Pretty solid at every level he's played at, even when he pitched in the, he got smoked in the Arizona Fall League in 2014.
Yeah, he has been pretty solid. Yeah, there's not a ton of innings so far in his career. He threw 96 last year. He had 69 the year before that. So he's never hit 100 innings in a season. Maybe that's the goal for 2015.
Right, I think that's though he was pitching, if I remember, might have been at short seasons.
Right.
Yeah, looking at short seasons, it looks like, because he's pitched 240 innings with 45. So, you know, some of that is as a reliever too. So
mm-hmm.
I think this year is probably when he takes a full season and see how many innings he can give you and go from there.
Okay, next up is Max Poves.
Poves? The guy on the internet. I was like three different websites last night. Nobody knew how old he was. Like different birth dates and everything. We drafted him in 2014, maybe the third or fourth round.
Third round.
Third
pick
round.
Number 28, yeah.
Yeah, he's kind of struggled though. Like not great on the walk numbers, not great on the strikeout numbers, not really great on anything. He was have a power arm with not much else to go with it.
They look okay at Rome last year.
Yeah, it looks like 2014 and early of 2015 he started, and we made the jump to high A, kind of when he ran into some trouble.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I don't know. There may be something there. There may not. You don't know yet.
It was an increase in walks and a reduction in strikeouts. His strikeout rate was half of what it had been previous, and his walks were 50% higher than they had been previous. So
not good.
Guys quit chasing stuff is what it was.
Yeah.
Next.
I was just going to say, that's one thing that you can look at for some of the young pitchers at the lower levels. I generally don't give any credence to anything below double A, simply because everybody goes to the rookie leagues at some point. But when you start looking at strikeout rates and walk rates for some of those young batters and those young hitters, or those young batters and those young pitchers, you can kind of tell whether a guy has a chance to be good based on, you know, how many he's walking, how many he's striking out at those levels.
Sometimes all I look at for those guys is just sort of the ratio and, you know, 2-1, 3-1.
The ERA doesn't mean a lot because they're still working on fielding. They're moving players around.
Yeah.
You know, that's primarily what I look at when I look at the low minors. It's only when you start hitting double A where you find a guy. Usually by double A, a guy is determined to be a major league prospect.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point, you can expect that he at least has a decent shot of making the major leagues, so he's finally facing good players. And, you know, if he struggles at double A, then he's probably going to struggle in the majors.
Next up is a pitcher named Oriel Cicedo. Oriel Cicedo, 22-year-old lefty, free agent out of Panama, an international free agent we got.
I can tell you his proper pronunciation is Caicedo.
Caicedo.
Yes.
Awesome.
That was that's my in-law's family name, Caicedo.
Nice. Okay. Oriel Caicedo has, he's had some good results and some not good results in the minors. So my guess is he's just still developing. He missed 2012 with an ACL injury. Oh, well. There's something. He's not a completely... He's not just filler, but he's not really a prospect yet. Next up is Wes Parsons, who I want to say was at least a little something of a prospect before he got injured. When did he didn't miss most of last season? He did miss most of last season with injuries. He pitched less than 20 innings last year. But before that, he at high A in 2014 as a starter, he had a 7.6 strikeouts per nine to a 2.7 walks per nine. So nice. There's something there. I don't think that's a real high ceiling. Maybe something there. He was a non-drafted free agent that we just signed in 2012, oddly.
Yeah, he only pitched 19 innings last year, it looks like.
Yeah. Josh Graham, next name on this list.
Yeah, he drafted last year out of Oregon, right?
Yes, I believe so. Fourth round pick, 120th overall pick.
So he's only got, I think, like 15 innings, 16 yeah, innings, something like that.
He was dominant, but...
Yeah.
I mean, it's a college pitcher in rookie ball. They tend to be dominant.
Right.
Because, especially if you're a major conference college pitcher, you're already... I mean, the SEC is seen, I think, basically on a little bit between high A and double A level. And so I would imagine Oregon's probably high A.
Right.
Basically. So
it's really just a wait and see. But he's a strikeout pitcher, it looks like.
Cool. Caleb Beach, a 13th round pick in the 2014 draft. 22-year-old. Guess what? He's tall. 6'4", 215.
He's Randy Johnson. Should be our new thing.
High ground ball rate last year at Rome. 6.2 strikeouts to 2.4 walks at Rome last year. So, something, maybe. Like I said, some of these guys are only a year or two into the system. It's hard to really know what they are or what they're not. And Beach is another one who, it doesn't look bad so far.
Right.
So, that's pretty much what that is. So, it's Trevor Belichick.
Or Belichick, maybe.
I'd love for it to be Belichick.
He actually looks fairly intriguing.
Lefty, 16th round pick this year. He was one of the many, many pitchers added by the Braves last year in the draft. He must have been. He's a college player, I guess, because he's 23. I don't know where he went, but...
Texas A&M, Corpus Christi.
Oh, nice. Another guy out of Texas A&M, too, I think.
Overall in the minors, last year, first really season in the minors, he was 5-0, 2.53 ERA, 3.47 run average. In 57 innings, gave up 55 hits, struck out 41. Doesn't strike out a lot of guys, but also doesn't walk a lot of guys. Walks per nine was 1.9, strikeouts per nine, 6.5. So gives up a lot of hits, so that kind of tells me he's around the zone a lot. Doesn't really miss a lot of bats. He's probably more in the zone than he wants to be, which means he probably has good stuff.
The splits for rookie ball versus low A last year tell the difference in both the walks and the strikeouts, though, because at rookie ball, he pitched 37 innings, and he had 7.9 to 1.4 strikeouts to walks. And then in 19 innings at Rome, it was 3.7 to 2.8.
Exactly.
So he struggled in A, but was pretty good at rookie ball.
But even with that strikeouts per nine and walks per nine being a little bit high, he still had a solid ERA, gave up a few more hits. It's probably a situation where the as he advanced, the guys quit chasing the ball. Mm-hmm. So he's going to have to work on the fringes a little bit. But there's probably something there to keep an eye on.
One guy to keep an eye on this year, because he's pitching for the first time since 2014, will be former Padres top prospect Max Fried.
Oh, yeah. Max, man, we got so many.
We do have so many good prospects.
Like, that was such a big deal.
Yeah.
Now I've just totally forgot he existed.
He was a solid prospect before. He wasn't top-tier prospect, but he was good.
I think he was. I think he was top 100 prospect on track to be. I read some scouts said if he hadn't been hurt, they think he'd be top 5 lefty prospect in the game with Sean Newcomb. But then he did get hurt, though, so now you don't know really how he's going to respond to that. It could be a Manny Banuelos type injury.
Right.
Or it could be just a blip in the radar. He could come back like Jose Fernandez did and still be awesome. But it was an unfortunate delay because he basically missed two seasons. But he was seen as a like a You hate to just compare him because he's tall and thin and lefty, but I want to say there were a lot of Cole Hamels comparisons coming out of high school for him when he was drafted, which at the time would have been about right because it would have been peak Cole Hamels time.
So Baseball America had him at number 46 after 2012 and 53 after 2013.
Best case scenario, probably a high number 3 or a low number 2 for a best case scenario. Realistically, probably a 4. He had command issues before the surgery, though, so he still had work to do even before the surgery.
Right.
But coming back off the surgery, not having pitched since, July of 2014, he's going to be brought along relatively slowly, but the Braves have liked what they've seen from him.
And we get to bring him along slowly because we have 4,000 pitchers.
Right. Another one that we have that we acquired in yet another fleecing of Dave Stewart was Touki Toussaint.
That may have been my favorite trade.
We got Touki Toussaint for free.
Yeah, we had to give up Phil Gosselin, and we had to pay Bronson Arroyo to get Touki Toussaint, which you can get a top pitching prospect for a replaceable middle infielder and just $9 million. You do that every time. Every time.
Yep.
It's crazy. Toussaint, right now, throws the ball really hard and doesn't know where he's throwing it.
Yeah.
But maybe he will know where he's throwing it one day. That's the hope with him. And very few players can throw it as hard as he does with movement like that. So he's got a lot of upside.
He's put up some really gaudy numbers, both in a good and bad sense, in the minors. One thing to remember about him, when he pitched at Rome last year, at A-ball at Rome last year, he was 3 years younger than the average player there. He's still young, developing, and a lot of room for him to kind of work into being a productive player.
We will have had another entire draft class before he turns 20 years old.
Yep.
Right.
So he's still raw at this point, and I wouldn't expect him to move quickly.
He could still be growing, for all we know.
Yeah.
I mean,
so he's definitely one to keep an eye on.
Yeah.
Speaking of young and single A and really talented.
Speaking of young and single.
Ricardo Sanchez.
We
got him for the Kyle, what was his last name?
Kubica?
Yeah, the third base guy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, him and somebody else we sent to
Angels.
The Angels.
Yeah.
I forget who the other guy was.
Was it not one-on-one? One-for-one?
We sent two.
Okay. Well, Ricardo Sanchez is not even 19. He'll be 19 a little after opening day this year. And he's already made 19 starts in the low minors. He's not even 19 years old. He's already done 10 starts at low A as an 18-year-old, which is impressive.
Yeah.
And he wasn't great, but he wasn't awful. And when I think that's the goal, is to not be awful if you're an 18-year-old at A-ball.
His walks actually went down slightly as he progressed up, too, so that's a good sign. His strikeouts dropped, which is to be expected, but his walks dropped a little bit.
Yeah.
His whip dropped, too, so.
He's probably working a lot on secondary pitches, too. Like, when he first came up, he was probably just pounding the fastball.
I saw a scouting report where he's got a plus curve, so they're probably working on that, too, just to make it a better than meh secondary pitch.
Next up is John Martinez.
Yeah.
Han. That's what I called him.
You don't mess with the Jehan Martinez.
40 innings last year, rookie ball. Not a lot of strikeouts. He seems to have... This is a guy who's still developing when you look at his strikeouts and walks. But he's getting better. I mean, he's getting better as the system goes along. Actually had a decent year last year.
He was a lefty. He's a lefty, so we'll give him tons of opportunities. And he's an international free agent from Venezuela. Yeah, so he's another developing one to keep an eye on. Ryan Lawler. Lawler was a 8th round pick this year. We drafted so many pitchers this year.
We did.
Need him for depth. Plus, every pitcher, I mean, this is one thing. For all the things that the fans say about Braves take another pitcher, Braves take another. Any pitcher in any given year has about a 40% chance of making the DL. It's probably twice what a... and that's any pitcher, regardless of whether they're a good prospect or not. So, you have to have the numbers to account for the attrition.
Also, at lower levels, even if they're not getting hurt, they're guys you're wanting to limit inning counts on. So you may only want a guy to throw 60, 70 innings right. in a given year, and so you need someone else to come in. Lawler, he's another guy who just, you know, it's not discouraging what he did at rookie ball. He was, now granted, he was 20-something years old at rookie ball.
There's just not a lot there to go off of.
Right.
8.2 strikeouts to 4 walks per 9. So there's something. We drafted him in the 8th round, so there's that. Another guy we drafted last year, Matt Withrow, who is the brother, I believe, of Chris Withrow.
13 starts last year at rookie ball, 48 innings. Not awful, not great. He was just...
not discouraging.
Yeah.
Like, it's... yeah.
Usually at these low levels, too, especially with these guys who are just a year or 6 months out of the draft, you're talking about they're learning how to pitch still.
I wonder if we're going to bring him along quickly as a reliever because
he's got fastball slider. He looks like a reliever. He's a big dude.
And he's going to be 23 this season.
Yeah.
So it's a hunt. Also, his brother's a reliever. So it's...
Sorry. Matt.
Yeah.
You're a reliever. My proxy.
Here's a 5th-round pick from this year, Ryan Clark.
I don't know Ryan.
Ryan Clark is another college pitcher. We took a lot of college pitchers in this draft. He's another 6'5", 220-pound guy who had 6.8 strikeouts to 1.7 walks per 9 last year. So good ratio. He knows where he's throwing it.
Not discouraging.
I mean... there's really
Brent's going to get angry again, Chris, because
I could see this.
No, I don't know.
I'm tired of all these normal players.
He seems a little bit more upbeat on these guys who are all the same.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, because they could all be useful. I don't know. I feel like one out of every 4 of these is going to be useful one day. And that's not bad to have. Next, Chad Sobotka. No relation that we know of to Frank Sobotka.
Or Nicky. Are they out of Baltimore?
Yeah, the Baltimore Sobotkas.
Ziggy Sobotka.
Oh, poor Ziggy. Ziggy ruined everything.
Oh, no.
Chad had a rough year last year. He had a 6.73 FIP FIP at Rome. Probably because he walked more batters than he struck out and he gave up home runs.
Almost 6 per game.
That'll do it, yeah.
And the 12.7 hits per 9 didn't help either. So, Chad, we're going to break the mold with you and say discouraging.
You're just a guy.
He was a 4th-round pick the year before. So, oh well. Alec Grosser?
We drafted him last year.
No, he was 2013.
13, okay. We drafted him out of high school, though, so he's the same age as everybody we drafted.
He's the same age as everyone we drafted. And he's 6'4", 205.
Didn't he have, like, a pretty bad numbers when he got to Rome?
Yes, 7.32 ERA would classify as bad numbers. 7 walks per 9 innings. Bad numbers.
Lord.
That is, combined with his hits, he gave up 16.2 base runners per 9 last year and struck out 5.
I want to backtrack a minute. TJ, I think you're right. Brent's about to get angry again. No.
Jarrett Hellinger was a 20th round pick last year. Still getting the pitchers in the 20th round last year. Jarrett Hellinger. Let's see, made 6 starts. They all made 6 starts. How do they find enough games for all these guys to pitch? They get like pickup games or something? The intra-squad games?
I was about to say, a bunch of split-squad games?
Yeah.
They don't have enough hitters. Hitters to field them.
They're playing stickball in Brooklyn.
they have to leave the defense out for both pitchers to pitch behind because we didn't draft any hitters. Hellinger. Oh, guess what? He was not discouraging last year. Actually, he's pretty good. This one is maybe something. 19-year-old lefty at rookie ball, struck out 8.7 per 9. He walked only 3.7, which is pretty good for a 18-year-old lefty.
Better than 8 per 9.
Yes. So,
Alec Grosser, wherever you are.
Poor Alec Grosser. He's like our only listener. So Hellinger's a guy who, keep an eye on him. Maybe he had really good results for a high schooler in rookie ball. Next up is a guy that we're probably more excited to talk about, another high schooler, Colby Allard, top pick of last year's draft by the Braves, 14th overall, I believe.
He was 14th overall, first round pick.
He only pitched 3 times at rookie ball, but man, he looked good. 6 innings, 1 hit, no walks, no runs, 12 strikeouts.
Yeah.
12 strikeouts in six.
17 years old last year, over 3 years younger than the average age at the Gulf League. Three games. I think fans got a little bit overly excited about him because there's just six innings means nothing. I mean, it's...
Well, to me, it means his back issue is healthy. Right.
There was a report that came out later in the year that was that he had a second back surgery that was turned out to be inaccurate, and he took to Twitter to clarify that. The back surgery that he had was for was in, I think, July of last year. Was that no? Actually, it was earlier than that. Was for what they called hyperextension, essentially. I think is what it was. Went in there, did the surgery to stabilize it, and he was fine after that. He started having some other issues, but they were somewhat related to that previous back surgery, but not directly related. He didn't have to have another surgery. And, you know, he looked good coming out of it. Everything was done with therapy and exercise and yoga and all that crap.
Yeah, he's a big-time prospect.
I'm interested in him. Prospect. He's
already being called top 100 by Baseball Prospectus, which is very impressive for a high school lefty.
Back issues can be a problem, so we need to see how he's going to develop from that. But if the surgery and the recovery from the surgery make him, you know, pain-free so he's not changing his delivery and whatnot, he's got the stuff to be a very good pitcher.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm very optimistic about him. He's got to watch closely this year. Another guy to watch closely who was not as highly heralded coming out of the draft, but was also a first-round pick, 28th overall, Mike Soroka.
From Calgary, Alberta, Canada.
He is the same age as Allard.
Pitched 34 innings across 9 starts last year, 3.18 ERA overall, 3.5 years younger than the average where he played overall. Doesn't give up a lot of base runners, doesn't strike out a lot. Oh, yeah, he does, 9.8. Yeah. Doesn't walk a lot. That was a good sign. So, you know, his strikeout-to-walk ratio at the lower levels was something you like to see, you know. Almost, what is that, 9.8 to 1.3, so 3 to 1.
He stepped into rookie ball and immediately looked like a polished college pitcher dominating rookie ball, and he did it when he was 18 years old. So that's really impressive. Very excited about Mike Soroka. I think he's a...
He's flying under the radar.
Yes. I think he's a top 200 prospect in baseball right now.
Fun.
Yeah. Only two more. They're both the draft picks from last year, second and third round picks. A.J. Minter was a second round pick. Is he the one that also went to Texas A&M? That sounds right. A.J. Minter, you're not going to find any stats on him. He's the guy who the Braves viewed as a first round quality player until he had to go under the knife for Tommy John surgery last spring.
Okay.
So the Braves were looking at him as a potential first round pick, and we wound up getting him with the 75th pick of the draft because he had Tommy John surgery in March. So that's what his thing this year is, just come back from that.
Right.
Right.
Just rehab. And finally, Anthony Guardado, third round pick for 2015. God, man, all these players are 2015 picks. It's amazing.
I know. I'm kind of optimistic on Guardado.
Is he the son of Eddie Guardado, former Twins reliever?
I don't know.
I'm going to say no, but I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. It'd be fun if he was. Everyday Eddie. Yeah, again, another guy who there's really not a lot of data on. But
he's weird because he missed his senior year of high school, or most of it, due to a football injury that had nothing to do with his arm or back or shoulder.
Oh, right. He had a shoulder injury that wasn't like a structural. Like a
contact injury. Injury.
I think I read that he got noticed because he was pitching up against another top prospect in some, like,
oh, yeah.
His high school. One of the starts he did make was...
Yeah, he's got a 95 mile per hour fastball, so that's fun.
Yeah. So yeah.
We had a lot of young pitchers. One thing to remember, though, like we had mentioned previously, you have to have a lot of pitchers, just given the number of prospects that don't pan out and given the number of injuries that happen to pitchers.
Right.
Yeah, some of them had injuries. You just take that, you know, that comes with the territory of being a pitcher. We had guys recovering. We drafted guys recovering from Tommy John, or we traded for guys that had Tommy John. And one of the reasons we did that is because we get a better return on investment from them. We don't have to put out as much to get an injured guy. And with Tommy John surgery now having a success rate of, depending on how old you are when you have it, but roughly a success rate of about 95%. It's not the career killer that it was 20 and 30 years ago.
All right, well, that's a look at all the minor league starting pitchers. We didn't even get to like international signings in recent years who haven't even really, who aren't even on track to be at like Danville yet, just guys who are learning how to pitch.
Or the Deon Toscanos who may or may not exist.
Although, I don't know, some of these guys may not exist. For Ryan Lawler may be a fictional person for all I know. I'll never know. Anyway, yeah, thanks for listening. And next time we'll do relief pitchers, and then we'll be completely through the Braves system. We'll discuss
getting every close player. To
it should be September by then.
Yeah, well, by next podcast we should be more thick into spring training. There may be some cuts to talk about too, so that'll be.
We've had a couple of moves already this year, but nothing of significance. David Carpenter was released.
Oh, yeah.
He had lost a lot of velocity. Mm-hmm. The Braves were just kind of bringing him back as a what if. But he's lost a lot of velocity, and they weren't terribly impressed with what he had seen. And then some other guys have already been reassigned. We'll have more for that coming up here in the next week or so as it starts.
Right. So
raining people.
So, yeah, thanks for listening. Subscribe to the podcast on iTunes or any of your other podcasting services. Follow us at outfieldflyrule.com. Follow us on Facebook at Outfield Fly Rule. You can like us on Facebook at Outfield Fly Rule or join the Outfield Fly Rule group. And let your opinions and voices be heard. So thanks
for listening. We enjoy the feedback, so you know, come on there and give us some crap.
Yeah, thanks. Sure. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.
Have a good day.